In our last broadcast, Pastor Paul began with the powerful story of John Patton, a missionary in the 1800s from Scotland who left everything to do dangerous and costly gospel ministry among cannibals in the New Hebrides Islands. The Apostle Paul also did dangerous gospel ministry among hostile people, and he suffered greatly for the sake of Christ. He was driven to fully honor Christ and proclaim the gospel regardless of the personal cost, because for Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Welcome to Delight in the Word, the preaching ministry of Paul Tauchus, pastor at Cornerstone Community Church in Cleveland, Ohio. In today's broadcast, Pastor Paul will conclude his message in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 26, titled, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Today we'll learn what Paul means when he says, to die is gain, as we together delight in the Word.
So when Paul says to live is Christ, he means I have no other life than the life I have in Christ. There is no other life that is worth living. What am I going to do? Say goodbye to Christ and go back to my life of sin and works righteousness and religion and murdering Christians? No way. I have a new life. And this life is in Christ. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. That's an amazing statement. Paul's basically saying, I have no life except the life that is mine in Christ. And when you come to that understanding, then, it simplifies the question you ask yourself, what am I supposed to do with my life? Because then you realize that you're not really asking, what am I supposed to do with my life? You're asking, what am I supposed to do with the life that Christ now lives in me? Because I've only got one life to live. And that then leads to a sense of surrender to the will of God and submission to the will of God for our lives when we realize it's not to be a competition of my life versus the life that God wants for me in Christ and has provided for me in Christ, but there is only one life, the life that is mine in Christ. So that's what Paul means when he says, to live is Christ. Christ is his life. So let me ask you this morning, what are you living for? How would you finish the sentence? To live is, for me to live is, I mean, some might say, for me to live is money. For me to live is marriage or engagement or a dating relationship. For me to live is children. For me to live is to have the perfect family. For me to live is work. For me to live is retirement. For me to live is vacation. For me to live is comfort. For me to live is world travel. For me to live is you name it. But logically, folks, listen to me. Logically, if we have been purchased by the blood of Christ and we no longer have a life of our own, but we are owned by God and the only life we have is the life we have in Christ, then the only logical way to answer that question is to live is Christ. That he is my overwhelming passion and desire. And maybe you'd say, well, that's easy for him. I mean, he's the Apostle Paul. I mean, how much more spiritual can you get? You don't really expect me to have that same attitude. I mean, Paul, he had it all. He had all the privileges. Let's stop to remember for a moment that the man who wrote these words was once a murderer of Christians. He was on his way down the road possessing in his hand letters that if rightly delivered would result in the execution of those who followed Christ. And God stopped him and saved him in a glorious conversion where he met Christ and he was saved. This is not some super spiritual goody two-shoes who is saying this to us. This is a man who was wretchedly sinful, but God's grace intruded into his life and changed him. And he would never be the same. To live is Christ. But then he says, to die is gain. What does that mean? What does he mean, to die is gain? How can death be beneficial? How can death be a gain to the person who dies? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5, where we see the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, speaking of his body, so now he's speaking of his physical body that where his spirit lives as a tent. It's his earthly home. If it's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Talking about the future glorified body of the believer. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So the reason why Paul can say to die is gain is because for the believer, to die is to then enter into the presence of God. What could be greater gain than that? Absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that's the hope of the believer at the time of death. And that's why death is no enemy to the person who can say to live is Christ. Because when that truth is governing your mind, then death is not viewed as the enemy who's going to snuff out your life. Death is considered that which will usher you into the fullness of what life is already yours in Christ. So to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's the truth that governed Paul's mind. But next we see that there was the tension in his heart. Not only was there a truth that governed his mind, but there was a tension in his heart. For if I am to live in the flesh, verse 22, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. So if I stay in the flesh, I mean, he's talking as if he has control over it, which he knows he doesn't. He knows that if God wants to take him, God will take him. But he's saying, the benefit to me staying is I get to serve the Lord longer. You see his heart? He is so in love with Christ because of what Christ has done for him. He just wants to give every ounce of every day to Christ. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. There's a conflict in my soul. There's a tension in my heart between these two options, scenarios, to die and be with Christ, to live and serve him here. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. That's my desire, because that would be the ultimate desire for a believer. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. See the tension that's in his heart? He loves Christ and wants to be with Christ, and yet he loves people. He loves the lost that will die and go to hell without Christ. And he loves believers, and he wants to pour his life into them and see them mature in Christ. He says it's far better when you compare the two. Obviously, it's far better to depart. The word depart is interesting. It has several uses. To soldiers, it meant to take down your tent and move on. Isn't that interesting? When a believer dies, the tent is taken down and we move on. To sailors, it meant to loosen a ship and set sail. To a judge, it meant to set a prisoner free. To farmers, it meant to unyoke the oxen because the work was done. Paul says it's far better to depart, no question about it. To depart and be with Christ because my work is done, the tent is taken down, the ship is setting sail for eternity, and this body is no longer holding my spirit in its prison. But I am totally free in Christ. So to Paul, death would mean all of those things. And to die and be with Christ would be far greater, but to remain would be of such great benefit to the churches. So basically, Paul is saying, death is to my advantage, but life is to your advantage. So that's the tension in his heart. And then notice we see, thirdly, the tenacity of his will. Verses 25 and 26. He's convinced, he's determined. Verse 25, he's convinced he's going to live. He's going to get out of prison. He's determined to continue the work that God called him to. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. I'm convinced of that. So that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So Paul's longing was not only for the nations to be reached with the gospel, but he also worked tirelessly on behalf of the discipleship of the church and the maturing of believers. We see this in Colossians chapter 1, if you'll turn there. Colossians chapter 1. People have life verses, and then if they enter the ministry, they have ministry verses. And I would say, I would call verses 28 and 29 Paul's ministry verses. Life verses, to live is Christ. Ministry verses, I want to see every believer come to maturity in Christ. Verse 28, Colossians 1. Him we proclaim, that's Christ, who is the hope of glory. So we proclaim Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So Paul says, yeah, it's better to depart and go be with Christ. It's better for me, but it's better for you if I stay. Why? Because if I stay, then I will continue to proclaim Christ. I will continue to warn everyone about the consequences of rejecting Christ and walking away from the grace of God. I will teach everyone all that there is to be taught in the Word of God. I will do it with wisdom. Why? So that I may present everyone mature in Christ, so that when I die and stand before God, I will present to him all of the believers that God has worked in through my ministry, and they will be mature. They'll be complete in Christ. Do you see what a selfless man he was? He just gave of himself. And he toiled, verse 29. But notice, he didn't toil in his own strength. He struggled. It was intense labor. There was a very strong words that he uses in verse 29. But he does it with whose energy? His energy. Christ. The power of the Spirit. That's what powerfully works within me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory, that energizes me, that strengthens me, that ministers to others through me. And so you see this tenacity, this determination in his will that I'd rather go and be with Christ. That definitely is far better, but my heart's desire is that more will come to know Christ, and those who come to know Christ will then come to maturity in Christ. And I'm convinced of this. Why? So that, verse 26, in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in me. As the great apostle who brought the gospel to you and did all this work. No. Paul was like John the Baptist, and he was constantly doing everything he could to deflect glory away from himself to the Lord Jesus. He must increase, I must decrease, John said. Paul's basically saying the same thing. I want you to glory in Christ. That's why I'm pouring my life into you. I want you to scream at the top of your lungs and the depth of your heart, for me to live is Christ. What an example. John Patton, that missionary to the South Seas, had the same kind of tenacity. He was willing to die for the cause of Christ, just as his wife and son had given their lives for the sake of Jesus. But he was also willing to live, and his endurance proved that. With all honesty, really, John Patton could have quoted these words of the apostle word for word. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. In this case, and my wife and son. For that would be far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. John Patton could have left the island after his first wife and son had died, and probably no one would have criticized him for it. But he didn't. Instead, he believed God's call to take the gospel to the heathen remained upon his life, and so he returned to the island with his second wife, and together they served for 41 years, bringing the gospel to the cannibals. But was it worth it? Was there fruit? Was there progress and joy in the faith? There was massive fruit. In February 2000, I had the opportunity to hear John Piper speak on the life of John Patton. And he said this about Patton in the face of difficulty. Quote, John took heart from the power of the gospel and from the fact that thousands on the island had come to Christ. So he learned the language and reduced it to writing. He built orphanages. Mrs. Patton taught a class of about 50 women and girls. They became experts at sewing, singing, plaiting hats, and reading. They trained the teachers, translated and printed and expounded the scriptures, ministered to the sick and dying, dispensed medicines every day, taught them how to use tools. They held worship services every Lord's Day and sent native teachers to all the villages to preach the gospel. In the next 15 years, John and Margaret Patton saw the entire island of Annawa turn to Christ. Years later, he wrote, quote, "I claimed Annawa for Jesus, and by the grace of God, Annawa now worships at the Savior's feet." When he was 73 years old and traveling around the world for the cause of missions in South Seas, he was still ministering to his beloved Annawan people. It says he published the New Testament in the Annawan language in 1897. And even to his death, he was translating hymns and catechisms and creating a dictionary for his people, even when he could no longer be with them. Was it worth it? Though he knew that to die is Christ, he also knew that to live is Christ. To die would be gain, but to live would be to work for the cause of Christ. And he pressed on and he lived for Christ, and I would say it was worth it, and there are tens of thousands of believers in the South Seas who would agree that it was worth it. For me to live is Christ. Is that the song of your heart this morning? Oh, let us pray. God will make it so. Father, we are feeble and frail and so easily distracted, so easily impressed with the world and the things that it has to offer us. And we forget. We forget that the life that we now live is a life of faith. We forget that the life we once lived is never worth repeating. And so, Father, do what you need to remind us. Like the psalmist said, he remembered the pit from which he had been dug. And we remember the sinful pits that you pulled us out of. We don't remember them because we want to linger there and think on sin and the grief that it brings, but we reflect on it, we glance back only so that we might then turn and focus all of our attention upon our Savior who rescued us. And he is now worthy of all that we could possibly give to him. So Father, burn within our hearts this truth that mobilized the Apostle Paul. We know that to die in Christ is great gain. But Lord, as long as we are here, there is so much work to be done. So many souls that need to be reached with the gospel. Here in Mayfield, the greater Cleveland area, the Midwest, the nation, the world. So burn within our hearts conviction that the life that we live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And so may we live for him. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
As much as departing and being with Christ would be far better, Paul knew that staying and giving himself fully to gospel ministry was his calling, his mission, and would bring greater glory to our Savior. If you'd like a copy of today's message, we invite you to visit our website at delightintheword.org. There you can download the broadcast and browse many helpful resources to encourage you in your walk with Christ. Once again, we're highlighting Pastor Paul's insightful and helpful 31-day devotional book titled Anxiety, Knowing God's Peace. If you'd like a copy of this encouraging resource, we'll send it to you for a donation to this ministry of any amount at delightintheword.org. Thank you for supporting this radio ministry. If you live near Cleveland, Ohio, and you're not currently attending a church in the area, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. This program has been sponsored by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. Be sure to join us next time as we continue our study in Philippians chapter 1. We'll begin a message titled, Living Worthy of the Gospel, as we together delight in the Word.